Some of you are in a mess right now because you have wrong thinking, and that wrong thinking leads you to make a lot of wrong decisions. What are you thinking? What were you thinking?
This is Straight Talk.
This is Straight Talk, and my name is Joshua Halyk, your host today. So excited to be with you. We know here at Straight Talk that every time we open the Word of God, every time the Bible opens, there is an opportunity for life change. There's an opportunity for redirection. And today, as you listen, wherever you may be, maybe you're driving, it's late at night, maybe you're laying in bed, maybe you're listening on the radio or you're listening on the app. Right now, today, as you hear this message, there is an opportunity for you to go to the next level in your spiritual life. That gets us excited here. And that's why I'm excited that we're in a series called First Things First. In the book of Colossians, Pastor Mark is going to be preaching today's message. It's called, What Are You Thinking? And he's going to highlight the power of our thinking. In the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul talks about how the way we think has an impact on everything we do. If you don't know the spiritual truths that you need to, you may find yourself living a life that God never intended you to. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. We're going to be looking at finding handles on the Scripture, finding handles on spiritual truth that's going to allow you and empower you to live the life God's called you to live. And let me tell you, the people around you need you to be at your spiritual best. Your kids, your spouse, your coworkers, your family members, the people who work with you, they need you to be at your spiritual best. And for that to happen, you're going to have to get a handle on your thinking. Wrong thinking leads to wrong acting, and that can really mess up your life. I'm excited for us to go together today now to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as Pastor Mark takes us in a message called, What Are You Thinking? Let's go now.
We've been talking about first things first. We're in a series, a verse-by-verse series through the book of Colossians. And the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the believers at Colossae from a prison cell. He was not in a posh Hyatt Regency hotel asking for a chilled raspberry iced tea, as I told you last week. He's in a prison writing to people that he's never met, but a people that were struggling with keeping their Christianity on target. Because their Christianity was being watered down by the messages that were coming from the world, and they were struggling to keep their Christianity in its proper place. So the Apostle Paul now begins to talk to these believers about their thinking. And this entire passage is really about having the right thinking about God, about life, and not allowing your thinking to get off track, because when your thinking gets off track, oh, hear me, when your thinking gets off track, your life gets off track as well. You cannot live your life on track if your thinking is derailed. Wrong thinking leads to wrong living. Right thinking leads to right living. Change your thinking, change your destiny. Alter your thinking, alter the course of your life. Your thinking will dictate to a large degree how you live your life and the decisions that you make in life. Some of you are in a mess right now because you have wrong thinking, and that wrong thinking leads you to make a lot of wrong decisions. Has anybody ever grabbed you by the shoulder, shaken you a little bit, and said, What are you thinking? What were you thinking? Anybody ever done that to you? Saul, anybody ever done that to you? In football, right? They probably should have done it a lot of times in life, right? What were you thinking? I remember as a little boy having my shoulder shaken, and the time I recall the most is when I was probably 10 years old, and I had just come up with this concoction that led a little boy to break his wrist. He was my age. I was 10, and he played the game I was playing, and he broke his wrist, and his mother looked at me and said, What were you thinking? The truth is, I wasn't thinking. Most 10-year-olds don't think a lot. What were you thinking? And spiritually, I believe this passage, the Apostle Paul is symbolically grabbing the shoulders of the Colossian believers, and he's shaking them a little bit, looking into their eyes, and he's saying to them, "What are you thinking?" And so I begin reading in verse 6. It says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." I'm going to give you three concepts this morning that you need to understand about grounded spiritual thinking. These three concepts, these three principles, will help you understand the importance of being grounded in your spiritual thinking, as the Apostle Paul indicates in this passage. If you're taking notes this morning, write this down. Number one, when you stay grounded in your spiritual thinking, you will keep both your attitude and your walk on track. When you stay grounded. The opposite applies as well. When we get off course in our thinking, then our attitude and our walk will also become derailed. Notice that the Apostle Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." You see, he was talking to some believers that a while back had actually bowed their knee, possibly raised their hands, and said, "Jesus, we receive you as Lord and Savior of our lives." And that had been a life-changing moment for them. Their life had been altered. Think with me for a moment to the time that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, if you've done so. Maybe it was 5 years ago. Maybe it was 2 years ago. Maybe it was 10 years ago. But do you remember that moment when you finally released and said, "Okay, God, I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Come and change me. I want to be a new creation." Do you remember that moment? Jose, do you remember that moment? How long ago was that? 8 years ago. All right? It's been 8 years. So remember that moment of what God did. Rudy, do you remember that moment?
Yeah, I remember.
How long ago was it?
December 3rd,
it would be 3 years. A lot's happened in this guy's life. He got baptized. He got married to a Christian woman who loves Jesus as well in 3 years. Man, a lot has happened in those years. Yeah. But you see, here's the danger. The danger is that the way we received Christ at the beginning, we no longer continue to live the way we received him. Because oftentimes when we receive him, we go all out for him and we say, "Yes, you are Savior and Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you no matter what the cost." And so we go home and we tell people, "Hey, I just got saved. I just decided to follow Jesus." And you start getting rid of some of the old, you go back home and you lift up your mattress and get rid of the Playboy magazine, say, "Out with this." And you start cleaning up your language, and now it's "excuse my French," and you stop yourself a bunch of times, and now you're just listening to different things on the radio, and you're walking different, talking different. Everybody knows, "Wow, this guy found religion," they say. And you know it's more than religion. You found a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But it's real to you, and it's at the center, and you have this fire about yourself to say, "Jesus is Lord of my life." But like everything else in life, then time passes. And it's easy to get used to the routine of things. And it's easy to get in the humdrum of life and that excitement and initial zeal, if we're not careful, can dissipate and give way to routine. And oftentimes we can begin to not live the way that we received Christ as Lord. And I want you to notice the emphasis on Lord. It doesn't, Paul doesn't say, so then as you receive Christ as Savior, continue to live in Him. You see, Jesus Christ comes in one package, not separate packages. You can't sign up for package A or plan B or plan C. Some of you think you can say, well, I signed up for the Savior package, plan A. But I don't want the plan Savior and Lord package because that's a little too much. And forget the Savior, Lord, missionary stuff. Man, that's way, way, way too much. I just want plan A, plan B. Just Savior. Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus Christ cannot be accepted in portions or parts. Just like you can't marry the good parts of your wife and leave the bad parts outside of the marriage. Hey, you married the whole thing. You say, well, I only want to marry that part of her. No, sorry, you're stuck with everything, including the in-laws. It's a package deal. I remember sitting down with a fella and he told me, well, Pastor Mark, I'm thinking about marrying this woman and I really like things about her, but there are things about her that really scare me. But I'm thinking if I marry her, don't you think she can change in time and maybe she'll get rid of some of those things and she'll change? I said, hold on, time out. Listen, buddy, you're going to marry her. You marry her as is. As is. You don't marry what you think you could be. You don't marry what your expectation is that maybe she'll evolve into. You're marrying her the way she is. And if you can't commit to the way she is, then don't marry her. But if you're going to commit, you commit to the way she is. When it comes to Christianity, you accept Christ, you receive Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord in one package. Lord means that He is master and center of your existence and life. That your life no longer belongs to you, but you have submitted it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that now you say, not what I want, but your will be done, God. This is not my life, but your life. Not my destiny, but your destiny. Not my dream, but your dream. I submit my life to your Lordship. That's what it means to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And these folks had started out that way, but because of their thinking, they had started to go off track. And so the Apostle Paul says, I want you to continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted means that you have roots that go deep into who He is. Built up in Him means that He is the foundation of what you build upon, and strengthened in the faith, not strengthened in faith. Sometimes when you see faith, it refers to faith versus doubt or your ability to believe for something. When you see the faith, it's talking about your entire Christianity, your walk, your theology, your whole, the whole package deal. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, What Are You Thinking?, which is from his series called First Things First. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Pastor Mark's message, What Are You Thinking?
Let me just say this, that I believe that one of the greatest problems that the church faces today is that oftentimes people have come to Christ at an evangelistic crusade. They've been to a Billy Graham meeting. They saw someone preach the gospel on television and prayed a prayer. They were invited to a service and heard the gospel and said yes to Jesus. But I want you to understand that that is solely and merely the commencement to the Christian life. It's not the end. And many people fail to get rooted and grounded in their faith. Therefore, they end up being like a Texas tumbleweed. Have you seen them blowing through the desert? There's no root to them. They just blow where the wind takes them. They're not grounded. They're not rooted. If a wind blows this way, woo, they go that way. If a wind blows over here, woo, they go over there. They're driven by every wind that comes about. There's no stability. There's no consistency. There's no foundation. There's no roots. They go with what every wind. If the wind of trial takes them down, then suddenly they're questioning, where is God? If the wind of heresy takes them this way, they're believing strange things about God. If the wind of love takes them to start living with their girlfriend, now the wind of lust has gotten a hold of them. But their life is like a roller coaster spiritually. They're not grounded. They're not rooted. Why? Because although they said yes to Jesus, they have not gotten their roots strong. If you're going to have right thinking, you have to be taught. You have to know what it is that you believe. I want you to be people that understand the word. I want you to be grounded in your faith. I want you to be people that, hey, I don't want you to be Pastor Mark people. Pastor Mark can come and go. God forbid if Pastor Mark had a heart attack that people would fall away because you're following Jesus, not Pastor Mark. Okay? Jesus is much more enduring, transcendent. And I don't want you to, that if I was ever out of the picture, well, I don't know now because Pastor Mark's not there to tell me, hey, the word is there to tell you. The word. I want you to know the word. I want you to be grounded in the word. I want you to be focused on the word. I want you to have some strong roots in the word, because your faith will be tested. Your theology will be tested. Your life will be tested. Your morality will be tested. Your integrity will be tested. And you need to be rooted. And that's why it's such an emphasis here at New Life Community Church that when someone comes to Christ, we want to see people. That's why years ago I wrote the First Step booklets. How many of you have gone through the mentoring of the First Steps? Raise your hand. Wave at me if you studied those. Okay, there's a whole bunch of you that still need to go through them. I wrote those years ago because I wanted to make sure that people that said yes to Jesus understood the foundation of their faith. And so I wrote this not answering any question. They're just a Bible study that asks questions, and you look to the Word to answer those questions. Based on Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that says these are the elementary things that you should know. Faith, repentance, baptism, the resurrection, laying on of hands. I listed those six things right there. And everybody that gets baptized, we try to take them at least through the first three lessons, because we want them to know why they're making the step that they're making. We want them to be grounded in their faith. So, the Apostle Paul is summarizing. He begins to summarize what it means to have the right thinking and being grounded. And by the way, can I tell you that if you are grounded, it will also affect your attitude. You say, well, how do I know if I'm not grounded? You show me someone that's a Christian with a bad attitude, and you show me someone that's a Christian that's really inconsistent in their life, and I'll show you someone that needs to get more grounding. Have you ever run into a Christian with a bad attitude? Don't raise your hand if you're one of them. Say, yeah, well. Your attitude reflects your thinking, and your thinking reflects your groundedness. And you say, well, I can't control my attitude. No, you can control your attitude. Your attitude is a choice. Some people act like they're victims of their attitude. No, you're the master of your attitude when Jesus is the master of your life. So don't tell me that your husband is making you have a bad attitude. No one makes you have an attitude. You choose the attitude that you have. Sorry, I just took away some of your alibis. You've been saying, well, if my boss were different, if my husband were nicer, I would have a different... No. You are the master of your attitude. You have a bad attitude. It's because you chose to have a bad attitude. Groundedness, rootedness in your thinking, in your theology, in who Christ is, affects your attitude, and it affects the stability of your walk. Secondly, number two, then Paul moves on to say, in order to stay grounded in your spiritual thinking, you will need to avoid being taken captive by shallow ideas. He says in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Notice he uses the word captive. Someone that's captive is someone that is bound by something that they have no control over. Someone that's captive is a slave to something else beyond their control. He uses a very strong language to say some of you are bound and controlled by wrong thinking. It's taken you captive. And now you act and behave in a way you don't want to act and behave because you're a slave to wrong thinking. It's captivated you. It's bound you up. You're a slave to the way you think. You know, human trafficking is an issue in today's world. Some of you may not be aware of this, but the recruitment, transportation, harboring of people for the purpose of slavery, forced labor or servitude is called human trafficking. And it's a huge issue in certain poverty-stricken countries, especially in some countries in Central America and in Africa. It's a big issue. In fact, there is a total annual revenue for trafficking in persons that's estimated between $5 to $9 billion. A year. Billion. And these are people who typically, for whatever reasons, are taken into slavery or servitude or prostitution against their will. Now, oftentimes, the way that they're captivated is that they're lured into something that looks good, but ultimately is a slavery trap. I knew a woman in Spain, a friend of mine in Spain, who lived in the Dominican Republic. And the Dominican Republic has issues with poverty. And many people sometimes wanting to escape to better places. Well, when she was a young lady, in her late teens, early 20s, she encountered some people that said, Spain is looking for nannies. And said, we want you to sign up because we can get you in the country of Spain that's middle class and you can work for a middle class family. And it's a land with a lot of opportunities. You'll eat well. You'll live well. You'll have a job. You'll be able to serve there. Just sign up. We can get you into that country and your economic woes will be over. And so she signed up as a naive late teen, 20-something year old. Once they got her to the country, she realized that it was all just a facade. That in reality, once she was there and had no options of going back or going to the police because she was illegal, they forced her into prostitution. And she found herself trapped into this web of prostitution, fearing for her life, and fearing for her survival, because although it looked good on the outside, once she was in it, it was different than what it was painted. And now she was trapped in something she could not escape from. Thankfully, by the power of God, she ran into some Christians. And those Christians gave her shelter, protected her, relocated her, Now she's married, has several kids, living for God, and just a beautiful Christian woman now. But she had to escape out of slavery. Listen, spiritually speaking, in our mind, the same happens as well.
This has been Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church in Chicago and president of Moody Bible Institute with his series called First Things First. This was the first half of his message called What Are You Thinking? Join us again on the next Straight Talk as we conclude the message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.